The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is. Welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. I'm Nicole Sandler. Scattered in so many different directions and really kind of freaked out. I guess the way to get through times like these are by keeping busy. But I want to share with you a tweet that I included in the description of today's show because it sort of sums up where we are. Yeah, the tweet was from Ayman Mohideen of MSNBC, who wrote, "Former president admits he wants to overturn election, vows to pardon insurrectionists, incites racism and protests against black prosecutors. The FBI acknowledges a series of bomb threats around the country. Books being banned in schools. Are we still not alarmed?" I guess some people aren't. I am. I raise my hand. I'm alarmed. This scares me. And if you heard the interview yesterday with Peter Strzok, you know that he believes there's cause for alarm too. Now, Peter Strzok, you know, I didn't have time to do this yesterday, but I may just do it now because we got plenty of time today. I pulled, in advance of yesterday's interview, a segment that I think the Washington Post edited together of his day testifying before Congress. And, oh my God, it was so ugly. But I think it's important to remember this again was, you know, 4 years ago. Wow, it seems like just yesterday. We have been living in this hyper anxious state, this state of insecurity. I'm not talking about personal, like, oh my God, I don't like the way I look insecurity. I'm talking about existential insecurity as a democracy. And with the threat of an authoritarian regime hanging over us, with the threat of this would-be dictator, taking over. And the thing is, the thing that's really, really frightening is he came so close last time, and it doesn't appear that there are any barriers to him coming back in again. Now, there are barriers that should be there. By those, I'm talking about, you know, the electorate. But something has happened. This country has been dumbed down. And if you don't get the correlation between the recent lists of banned books and the dumbing down of the population, then I suggest that you were part of that dumbing down effort. I was talking to somebody not too long ago about the fact that I moved to Florida from New York the day I graduated from sixth grade. New York, you know, the school I went to, PS 169 in Bayside, Queens, was kindergarten through sixth grade. And on June 25th, I'm dating myself here, of 1971, we had a graduation. They had a whole graduation ceremony for sixth grade. And that afternoon, we got on a plane and flew down here to Florida, which is where we've been the whole time. And within a year, I was brought down to their level. I mean, just academically, because the New York City schools were so much better than the South Florida schools. And then here we are. Now, you know, just seeing the crap that's being put out by the Republicans, you know, not everything is partisan, except when it is. And it seems like the divide between those who are willing to be educated, those who are willing to expand their horizons and open up and experience different cultures and, you know, lifestyles, are the educated ones. And the ones who are, well, you know, welcome to the new world order. So this is the place we were back in, I don't even know when this was, but when Peter Strzok was in the hot seat, you know, before Congress testifying, this, why is that not coming forward? I don't know. I'm trying to, I see, maybe that's why. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to play for you this video of Peter Strzok, just so you can see. Yeah, and again, the interview was yesterday. And if you missed it, well, you can always go back and listen to the podcast. It's posted under yesterday's post, how I post every day's show. So you go to NicoleSandler.com/, in this case, 1-31-22. NicoleSandler.com/the date. Day-month-year. I don't have a paywall up on my website, so you can go back and listen to any show from the past 12, 15 years. And if you can afford it, I hope you'll contribute to keep us going, because that's what supports me. But there's no paywall to keep you out. Anyway, so the Peter Strzok interview I thought was really good, because he was so forthcoming. And I really feel for him. You know, everybody is entitled to their own political opinion. And what he said, and what I've heard from other FBI and other governmental agents, is that politics is not discussed among colleagues. You know, everybody's got their own political thoughts, but it doesn't enter into play in a situation like that. I'm sure with some people it will, but as a general rule, it doesn't. Yet, today's Republican Party is an animal unto itself. They're the ones who accuse us of being the hyperpartisan ones when they in fact do it. It's all projection with them. It's what I call opposite world. If you had a mirror up and everything bounces off, you might have some semblance of the truth. So anyway, this is the Washington Post's edit of Peter Strzok's hearing before Congress. And I don't know that we're going to make it through. It runs about 5 minutes, and we probably won't make it through the whole thing. In fact, I may cue in a little bit, because as this video goes on, it gets more and more combative. And it's, you know, if you're not already stressed out, you will be after watching this. So let's watch some of it. We'll start it from here. And then, like I said, I may cue in a bit. Let's see how it goes.
But the truth, so help you God.
I testify today with significant regret, recognizing that my texts have created confusion and caused pain for people I love. Not once in my 26 years of defending our nation did my personal opinions impact
this is what I was
any
just saying,
official
right?
action I took.
I believe
between
him.
July 31st and August 8th, how many interviews did you conduct
Trey Gowdy. What a pig he is.
The alleged collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign? Congressman, as you know, counsel for the FBI, based on the special counsel's equities, has instructed me not to answer questions about the ongoing investigation.
I'm asking for a number.
Russian attempts to
Agent.
Interfere.
You are under subpoena.
These,
and are
the way these Republicans treated him
question.
Was just reprehensible.
Are you objecting
reprehensible.
To the question? If so, please state your objection.
Mr. Chairman, I object.
I do not believe I am here under subpoena. I believe I am here voluntarily.
Chairman,
will you answer the committee's question as directed, or do you refuse to answer the committee's question?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
Second.
You're not recognized for that purpose.
I think that was Gerald Nadler moving to adjourn.
To allow the committee.
This is when the Democrats were not in control of the chamber.
Bob Mueller did not kick you off because of the content of your text. He kicked you off because of some appearance that he was worried about.
Sure. I'm stating to you, it is not my understanding that he kicked me off because of any bias, that it was done based on the appearance. If you want to represent what you said accurately, I'm happy to answer that question, but I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed.
Good for
I
him.
Don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. Ooh. I don't appreciate having an FBI agent with an unprecedented level of animus working
oh my
on two
God.
Major investigations during 2016.
To suggest somehow that we can parse down the words of shorthand textual conversations like there's some contract for a car is simply not consistent with my or most people's use of text messaging. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. And the proposition that that is going on, that it might occur anywhere in the FBI, deeply corrodes what the FBI
He's pissed.
Is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive.
I'm going to just go
over
no,
this
go
is
to
Daryl Issa. Oh, my God.
Own words.
Oh, my God.
March 4th, 2016.
Who has no business being in Congress.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. OMG, he's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
October 20th, 2016.
I can't pull away. What the, and I defer to the chairman whether
you can
or not
just use
like
one letter if you don't mind.
Why the F, what the F happened to our country, Lise?
I can't
okay,
either.
Read it again that way.
Sir, did you not, was yep, it not
I just
intelligible?
To hear it
you
one
just
more
want
time.
To hear it for yep. me to repeat it.
Please.
They
okay,
are
sir.
Just
sure,
horrible beings.
You have come in here.
Louis Gohmert, this guy is the worst. Just
face.
The worst.
And I watched you in the private.
And how he's still sitting
gave.
In Congress, I have
and
no
I told
idea.
Some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying. And he could probably pass a polygraph.
Point.
It's
a.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, my God. This is David Cicilline now.
Point of order. This point of order.
Yeah, the gentleman,
this
time.
Got so ugly and
Rhode
so out of control
there.
Here.
No, the disgrace Mr. what this man has done.
The gentleman
to
from
justice.
Texas will suspend
oh
for a moment.
God.
Is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice
talk
system.
About who's done damage to who talk about who's done damage to the justice system. Now this was in 2016. This was early on. I believe maybe it was 2018. The Trump people had already done damage to the justice system. And these people, these miscreants, have the nerve to point a finger at the Democrats. This is what I was talking about, the projection. Because it's that old I'm rubber, you're glue thing. That's what projection is. Everything you say bounces off me and hits you or however it went. All right, I'm going to go past Louis Gohmert just because he makes my stomach turn. But here, let's listen to... Peter Strzok again because he's pissed.
No, it's that you need your medication.
Wait, I got to go back. That was, I think, the head of the Congressional Black Caucus yelling at Louis Gohmert. She's off camera, but you can hear her. Bonnie Watson Coleman, I think it is.
Mr. Chairman,
this is intolerable harassment of the witness.
What is wrong with that? You need your medication.
I have always told the truth. The fact that you would accuse me otherwise... The fact that you would question whether or not that was the sort of look I would engage with in a family member who I have acknowledged hurting goes more to a discussion about your character and what you stand for and what is going inside you.
It's
and
to your
go.
Credibility, and while you lost your credibility.
Both individuals.
You have lost your credibility.
Listen
while
to this.
I doubt it plays well
gentleman
to
from
America,
Texas will
I'm not sure
will,
it plays
the
well.
Gentleman from Texas will suspend.
This hearing.
Okay, now this is Hakeem
is a
Jeffries.
Court.
You think?
It is a three-ring circus.
You think?
You've been out of
control. Oh, here she is again, Bonnie Watson Coleman.
Why don't you leave it alone? This is not Benghazi.
Ooh.
I cannot express to you my love of the FBI enough. The men and women who make up that workforce, their ethics, their integrity are unmatched anywhere in the world. And I think that's important, one, because it is who we are. Two, that none of them would accept any of the behaviors that are being alleged any more than I would accept it in him. And three, this entire exercise comes at a cost. We are doing things that are going to, in the future, tear down the underpinnings of what represent law and order in this country.
Hey, boy, that last line right there, talk about predicting the future. Because the underpinnings of law and order in this country do not exist anymore. All you have to do, again, is sorry, I didn't watch his rally Saturday night, knowing that the intrepid reporters who get paid a lot of money to cover the shit that spews from his mouth would give us the pertinent parts. And that they did. Like this.
If these radical, vicious, racist prosecutors do anything wrong or illegal, I hope we are going to have in this country the biggest protest we have ever had in Washington, D.C., in New York, in Atlanta, and elsewhere, because our country and our elections are corrupt.
And
corrupt.
This piece of shit is doing it all over again. I would think that's grounds for arrest. He's once again inciting people to riot, to an insurrection. He's telling them to take to the streets for the biggest protest you've ever seen around the country. If he loses again, that's not how democracy works. And this is frightening. This is very, very scary. You know, and that's just one little corner of today's Republican Party. It's like there's a contest as to who can be more reprehensible. You heard Ted Cruz, right? Ted Cruz, he just turns my stomach every time. And you'd think I'd be talking about our governor, who I have a new name for. It's more on Death Satan, because he is Satan. The man is evil. And we'll get to that. Dave Johnson's going to be along in a little bit, so we can just have a bitch session and talk about how everything is upside down and backwards. But I need to call out Ted Cruz for a minute, because he's such a hypocrite. And I know I had a guest on, I forget who it was, who said, don't call them out as being hypocrites. We know that. That is a given. That's like, you know, that's the ground floor. That's where you start from. But that's not something you can point at, because that's their normal state. They're hypocrites. I'll still call it out every time I see it. All right. Well, we got somebody on the phone, and I will always defer to phone calls. So, okay. Hi. Who's this calling from San Diego?
Okay. I wanted to just talk about vaccines. I got my third vaccine a few months ago.
Okay. First of all, who is this? Like, what's your name?
This is Vivian Marlborough. I got my third vaccine a few months ago, right?
Okay.
And the thing is, I wanted to say that I think that a lot of people, they overestimate how dangerous they say the vaccine is dangerous.
Who says the vaccine is dangerous? Who says it?
People who
don't know what they're talking about. Right. You need to qualify that. They say is one of the things that'll get you in trouble. Idiots who are uneducated say it.
I have diabetes and I took it three times.
Okay.
I have diabetes and I took it three times.
Gotcha.
And the thing about it is, normally this is the thing, I'm a Republican, right? And I took it three times. I wonder why people keep saying it's dangerous. It's like, it's not. It was tested.
You know why? You want me to tell you why? You're a Republican? Right. The reason they say that is because they want Joe Biden to fail. Now, that's intrinsically un-American. They want Joe Biden. Hold on. Let me finish, and then I'll let you continue. I know you're the son of the listener in San Diego who's a Republican, right? That's who this is?
No, I am that listener.
Okay, you are.
I took it three times.
Okay. So anyway, because they want Joe Biden to fail. So they don't want people taking the vaccine. They want the pandemic to spread. They want millions to die, because they want to be able to point to Joe Biden and say, see, he couldn't handle the pandemic. You need to put us back in charge. And if it sounds asinine, that's because it is. But that's how they work.
Okay, well, that's your idea. I think the idea is that the vaccines, they consider the vaccines to be dangerous, because remember, 50 years ago, the Tuskegee experiments became public. In the 2000s, that one stuff? You know that one stuff Monsanto was making, the
Roundup. Roundup is dangerous. It's a pest killer. It's not a medicine. Roundup gave people cancer. But not as a drug, not as a medicine. No, they always said there was a carcinogen in it, to use it with care. They didn't approve it for medical use.
I never said that. The government said that it was safe, though. People used it, and people ended up eating it through their food. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
The government does that.
That has nothing to do with medicine. You're conflating medicine with an industrial product. The free market demanded the FDA approve that to be on the market with warnings. It was never said it was safe to ingest. Where do you come up with this stuff?
I didn't say it was safe to ingest. I said that people ended up ingesting it through their food. There are tons of documentaries on this. I grew up eating organic food. I know a lot of people who were damaged by that. I've seen a lot of people who were
damaged your point?
By that.
What is your point?
The point overall is that I think that there's a mistrust with the government because of the fact that they approved a lot of dangerous things and they lied to people and said it was
all right. Thank you for the call. It was nice talking to you, Vivian. Hi, from the 205 area code. Who's this? Hello? Oh, I hung up on him because hi, that's you. Who's this? You got to turn the radio down and listen through the phone. God, I feel like the old days of radio. Hello, are you there?
The free market.
Turn down the.
The FDA
all right.
Approval.
I'm going to hang up on you. When you call in, just know there's a bit of a delay because we're on the internet. So there's like a 20, 30 second delay built in. So when you call, you have to listen through the phone, not through the radio or the computer speakers, because I won't hear you. Ah, that was fun. Okay, so what I was going to play for you was the asinine ramblings of one Ted Cruz, talking about this is the new Republican storyline, that Joe Biden saying he's going to pick a black woman to be on the Supreme Court is affirmative action. Listen to this, another miscreant today.
Biden, the fact that he's willing to make a promise at the outset that it must be a black woman, I got to say, that's offensive.
Really? Right. Was it offensive
when black women are what?
Was it offensive when Ronald Reagan said, I'm going to appoint a woman?
He's saying to 94%
of Americans, it's only offensive,
it's
a black woman?
I don't give a damn about you.
No, he's
not.
You
are ineligible. And he's also saying it's actually an insult to black women. If he came and said, I'm going to put the best jurist on the court, and he looked at a number of people and he ended up nominating a black woman, he could credibly say, okay, I'm nominating the person who's most qualified.
Oh, God.
He's not even pretending.
Okay, you know what? I can't do it. You heard. He's just a fucking moron. Well, our friends at the Parody Project and Freedom Toast have a little song for him. This is where I was going. So let's do this, and then I think Dave Johnson will be here. I think we all could use a song right now.
You know about Ted Cruz. I probably like Ted Cruz more than most of my colleagues like Ted Cruz. And I hate Ted Cruz.
And I got it. Okay.
And he made that. He's just a toxic coworker. He's the guy that microwaves fish in the long term.
Ted Lewis, it says.
Poor Texas, so sad. Worst senator we've had. We hope he'll leave soon on a one-way to Cancun. We get insulted.
Let this
some crack news. Ted Cruz, curious about Texas blues. Texas gonna lose, Texas gonna lose. Texas gonna lose, Texas gonna lose. Texas gonna, Texas gonna, Texas gonna lose. Ted Cruz,
please. Texas, Ted Lieu's parody of Footloose by Kenny Loggins, lyrics by the Freedom Toast. It was the parody project. Yeah, they do good work. Every now and then, we need something to get the juices flowing and tamp down the anger. Because I got to tell you, I'm angry. You should be too. Things are not normal. You know, it's so funny hearing some people say that when we... once we get through the pandemic, things will be back to normal. Well, I've never been one to embrace normalcy, although now I sort of crave it. But I don't know what normal is anymore. I mean, we do know we've got a new normal, and this new normal is batshit crazy. So I don't know how we survive. Oh, it looks like we did wake Dave Johnson up from his nap. He warned me that I'm infringing on his nap time. It's a tough life, you know, but somebody's got to live it, I suppose.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Did you get your beauty sleep in, honey?
I'm cranky.
I see. You look. You do look like you just woke up from a nap.
No, I did. I went and brushed my hair. What's going on here? Jesus.
You need a little spritzer. A little spritzer to get the flyaways. So, good morning. Well. Good morning.
Cranky.
Yeah, cranky, old man. How are you?
I'm all right. I guess.
Hanging in there?
If I don't read the news, I'm good.
Yeah,
if
that's
I read the news, I'm not so good.
That's my dilemma here, is because I have no choice. I have to read the news. But after I read the news and I do this, put together the What's News feature in the morning, I spend the rest of the day trying to figure out how to do an informative, entertaining, and credible show by talking about as little of that news as possible, because it's also damn depressing.
I was on a hike this morning listening to a podcast. Sorry, it was different. When
not mine? Okay.
Not this morning.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was thinking to myself, what if I just followed football?
It's over. Tom Brady retired. Okay, that's the only thing I know about football.
Yeah. Oh, my God, look at that. That's awful. I got a haircut a couple of days ago, and it's been a couple of days trying to get it to settle down.
Sure.
You know? But if I just followed football, you know, maybe I wouldn't be so unhappy. Of course,
Of course you would be, because you'd be pissed at Aaron Rodgers. Look, I don't even follow football. And the guy that I thought, okay, it's safe to like a team like Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers, because they're socialists, because this is the only team in the NFL that's owned by fans. So it's like, I'm down with that. That's cool. Because of all the money that's concentrated in the NFL.
Wait. You mean socialism is when the people involved in doing the labor actually are getting
the benefits of the work they do?
It's actually not all going to someone at the very top.
Do you believe that? Yeah, they won't tell you that, but that's basically
how do they bribe the politicians to get new stadiums at their own? who bribes the?
They pay for it themselves, confused. I guess. I don't know how that part of it works. I guess they don't have to, if they're all they're all the beneficiaries of the success of the club.
Well, then how do they get the other club monopolies not to crush them?
I don't know. They win.
This morning I was reading.
But in this case, so they have this guy Aaron Rodgers, and again I don't follow sports very closely, but I thought okay he goes out with Shailene Woodley, who's a really good leftist activist actress, stood up at the pipeline protests, and she walks the talk, and I thought so he's cool, he's one of us, until he lied about his vaccine status and shows that he's as MAGA and stupid Joe Rogan-like as the rest of them.
I know.
God.
But freedom.
Like the guy, this guy who, I guess he was in line for some kind of organ, a kidney transplant, I believe.
Oh, God.
And then he found out, they said to him, well, you're in line, but you need to be vaccinated because we're not going to waste a kidney on you. And he's like, I refuse to get vaccinated. They said, well, then we refuse to give you a new kidney. And he said, yeah. I'll die, but I'll die free. Damn
yeah,
it.
He'll die free.
What the fuck does that mean?
You know, I looked at the numbers this morning.
Yeah.
The average number of people dying right now of COVID is 2,550 a day.
Right. Still a lot average. Of people
but
dying
it's much higher
every
right
day.
Now because that average is in back a little ways. By the way, this is strong caffeine tea and my hair will start
settling
down.
Oh, gotcha.
Down
okay. And, you should put a shot of something, brandy or something, and that'll straighten your hair.
It's too early.
Oh, well, yeah. So you're on the West Coast, I see. It's 5:30 here.
Wait, I want to get this right. So
okay,
wait
go.
A minute. Socialism is when it's when you go to work.
Yeah.
You get up, you know, early and you do all the things you got to do and then you fight traffic.
Yeah. But you
go
reap
work,
the benefits of your hard
you
work.
And you do all that work and the money doesn't all go to someone at the top?
Right. Exactly.
No, wait.
Wait, what a concept.
I was reading about oil well cleanup of all these abandoned oil wells, right. You know, and how there's a whole bunch of money in the so-called infrastructure bill that passed bipartisan.
Yeah. To bipartisan.
Bipartisan means that the Chamber of Commerce was for it.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And because the money seems to all be going to corporations instead of, you know, the part that they split off that was to go to regular people. So they've got all this money for cleaning up abandoned oil wells.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're an investor.
Yeah.
And you invest in oil wells.
Yeah.
And if they come in, you're digging into public land or, you know, land that is land, the people, the stuff under the land, everybody owns that. Right.
But
you dig down into it. And you strike oil, and you get all this money.
Well, you right? don't, because you work for
no,
somebody
no,
else.
You're the investors.
Oh, you if you're the investors,
money,
yes.
And you get to put the stuff, the waste product from when you burn the oil, you can just put it in the air, and you don't have to pay anything to clean it up out of the air. But and you make all this money. But if you're an investor and you drill wells and they don't get oil, then you just walk away, and then the same people who have to clean up the mess you put in the air, burning the oil,
have to clean up the mess you left on the ground.
Your oil well.
Yeah, of course. Because this is scorched earth. I think that's basically where the term scorched earth came from.
This is a nice job if you can get
if
it.
If you can get it. Being a billionaire?
How do you get this job where you invest?
You inherit a lot of money.
You have a rich dad, or you marry wealthy.
You
have a lot of money to start with.
Yes, you have to have a lot of money to start with.
Then you can own one of these companies where everybody has to go to work. You can be an investor.
Yeah.
And everybody goes to work.
Yeah.
And all the money all the labor they do.
Yeah.
And then you fire them if they say a bad word, you don't give them raises, but you get all the money.
Right. You know,
how do you get a gig like that?
You are born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Either you're a member of the Lucky Sperm Club or you're a lucky genetics person and you can marry wealthy. That's the only, I think the, it used
what
to
kind
be.
What kind of a system? Wait, what kind of system is this where the people that have all the money, all the capital, get all the benefits? What kind of system is that?
American capitalism.
I have all the capital, so I get all the benefits of all of your work and all of your public land. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What's that system called?
Did you see American capitalism?
Capitalism.
Capitalism.
Wait, who makes in that system? Who gets to decide?
The capitalists.
Oh. Well, what about a system? What about a system where we the people democratically all get together and decide how to use all these resources and who gets the benefits.
Well, you know, that sounds like democracy to me, which is basically the thing of democracy is majority rules. But that's obviously not what we have here, because we have a Senate where the minority rules. It is not a democracy that we're living in.
Wait. Well, wait a minute. I live in Georgia, right?
You live in California, thank God.
If I lived in Georgia and I want to go vote.
Yeah.
All right. And I live,
you can, because you're white.
Well, let's say I'm going to vote Democratic and I live in one of those districts that tends to vote Democratic.
Okay, well, then you may have trouble.
And I need to get a mail-in ballot and I need to drop it off somewhere.
You can't do that.
Oh.
No. If you do, you have to drop it off somewhere with 5 pieces of identification that all come from this list that is going to be both time-consuming and expensive to get.
What happens if I live in a place where most of the people around me vote Democratic, but somehow somebody drew some lines that says that my district always votes Republican?
Well, you'll be
in a state like Wisconsin where a vast majority of the people vote for Democrats, but they get a vast majority of the state legislature's Republican.
You know, there's a process called gerrymandering. They'll make sure you can vote, but your neighbor across the street can't.
Okay, but wait, what if I have a House of Representatives that does vote for things?
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a state like California where I live, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have a county, one county in California, Santa Clara County, has way more people than some of these states.
That's right. Right.
But these states can...
You're shit out of luck.
Only 40% of the senators who represent only, 20% of the population can then block.
That's what I said. In the Senate, rules.
But wait. So what if I take this to the court?
Good luck.
To the Supreme Court.
Good luck. Amy Coney Barrett is the newest member of the Supreme Court. She's a Stepford wife.
Who got fewer votes.
Yes.
You know, like Bush and
Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who got fewer votes than the winner.
Right.
But they
then the loser.
Then
the alleged loser.
And then the Supreme Court says, I can't do that.
Right. Because this is not a democracy, because minority rules.
But
boy, Dave, wake up,
who
really.
Confirmed them on the Supreme Court. Come from
minority rules.
Don't have any vote. Wait.
Right. Yes.
Oh.
Minority rules.
Wait a minute.
So you would think then we want to lose, but if even when we're in the minority, we lose, and when we're in the majority, we lose.
Wait, I think I'm still in my nap. This is a bad thing.
it's a nightmare. Oh my God, it is a nightmare.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. Wait,
what?
Oh.
Yeah.
I was reading about Toys R Us, if you know. Sorry, I'm going back and forth.
Yeah,
here,
Toys R Us is not us anymore, right? They went out of business a few years ago.
A thing called private equity.
Oh.
Apparently there's these investment groups called private equity that can buy up.
Mm-hmm.
They buy up a place like a Toys R Us and then they borrow money on the equities of Toys R Us, you know, like hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they split up the hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they take the company bankrupt.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
And then the company's
gone. Yeah, right. Yeah, they do that. Again, capitalism, American capitalism.
They have
the capital, so they can do it.
Right.
See, that's the thing. That's the rub, as they always say. There's the rub. You need the money to do this stuff. You need the money to get more money. But if you don't have money to begin with, you ain't getting more money.
But why can't we the people vote and start companies?
Because they're going to keep us from voting. And it's not only them.
With all of our money we put together, let's say we paid taxes and then we use those taxes to buy or start companies. Okay, suppose we started a car company.
Yeah.
We the people.
Wait, do you have money to start the car company?
No. Let's all get together. We can vote and call it a government. And then our government starts a company.
Yeah, no. We still need the money. And you can't just call an election.
Who made the law that says we can't?
Well, there's a constitution.
It's called a system. It's called capitalism. We're not allowed
capitalism.
To start because that would, as they say, compete unfairly with, you know, or let's say we just had insurance for everybody for health care.
What a concept that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to totally go. Let's stop this for now because this is getting it's starting to get upsetting because
getting
we could go for hours like
getting
this.
Old, like me.
Yeah. But let me tell you, so I get pitched on a guest today. I get a guest saying we are going to be doing a remote area medical clinic in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in March. And so we would like to, you know, we need to find volunteers in the area who will work with us. And then as we get closer, you know, we'll open it up and let people know we're coming so people who need medical dental care can come and get it for free. Well, Remote Area Medical started many years ago. This guy, Stan Brock, who used to be, do you know who Stan Brock was? I think he was the Mutual of Omaha guy. He did Wild Kingdom, and he used to travel the world, and he would see in these far-flung places on the planet that they didn't have medical care, and some groups would do these remote area medical excursions. He got into that field because he saw the need for it, and then he started doing them in the United States of America. In fact, one of his expeditions. One of his remote area medical expeditions was in Tennessee. And a man who worked as the mouthpiece for the for-profit insurance industry by the name of Wendell Potter went and saw it and was aghast. And it blew his mind. And that's what changed history. So Wendell Potter became the whistleblower on the American healthcare industry. And to this date, he's still the only one who ever did. And so now Stan Brock died about 10 years ago. I interviewed him a number of times in the Air America days, and he was just a hero of mine. And now they're reconstituted and they're still doing these remote area medical excursions. And they're going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 2 days at the end of March. The fact that Fort Lauderdale, Florida needs a remote area medical excursion is criminal. It's disgusting. And that I want to help them because I know there are so many people who need medical care who do not get it. This is what makes me angry. And there's no cure for that in the future. In fact, your state of California had been working toward a Medicare for all system, and that just died or was killed, right? What happened out there?
Killed is a better way to put it.
It was killed.
By guess who?
Newsom? Money. By who? Money.
No.
Money.
No, Newsom. No.
Newsom some, would have gone for it.
They call it the campaign contributions.
Well, yeah. I don't understand. What happened? How did who murdered some, single
some,
payer?
Here come the quote marks again. Centrist Dems.
Centrist
at the
Dems.
Last minute went out against. I don't know the names.
Oh, my God. So even in liberal California, there are some of those moderates, centrists, conservatives.
I said, you know, we're trying to fight fascism here. Could you centrist Dems stop taking bribes long enough? Kill them, then we can kill each other, you know? And when I say kill them, I mean metaphorically.
Yes, right. Yeah. We're not talking about taking out guns and murdering people. But you do have to make that clarification
these
days.
If they're monitoring this show and we hear that, that'll be the only thing on the news. By the way, Wendell Potter, he was a senior fellow at the Center for Media and Democracy for a while.
Yes, he was, as were you.
Yeah.
Weren't you? Yes.
For a little while.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Right. But you've been a jolly good fellow at many of these think tanky organizations.
A couple of them, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah. And what do you do at those places besides
think?
He's
working.
You think?
Yeah. It's like you. You know, if you're in the ecosystem of the progressive political movement, you know, like you, you make millions.
If I was a right winger, I could make millions. If I was a Republican,
you're a media star of
please,
the progressive political movement,
right?
You must be making millions,
right? No, because I'm a progressive Democrat, If I would, you know, I'll never forget this. One time when I was unemployed, after Air America went off the air, I believe it was, and I was tooling around, or maybe it was before Air America, after I was fired from WINZ, right? One of the right-wing stations in the market, of which there were plenty, hired me temporarily to be their liberal, you know, token.
Oh, God, I was on a show like that.
Leading up to the election. Oh, it's when I had my big fight with Dennis Miller, who happened to be in town the day before the election. It was lovely. But anyway, the general manager said to me, you're really good. Or actually, it was the station owner. You're really good. You're really talented. But I can't let you talk your crazy politics on the air. Be a Republican. Cross the aisle and I'll put you on the air.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. It would not work because obviously I couldn't speak with authority on that subject. You could tell I was lying and I wouldn't sell my soul to the highest bidder. But they have a woman on the air there who did just that. This woman named Joyce Kaufman. She's still doing it on that same station. She used to be a liberal. She wanted to be Randy Rhodes long before Air America. She was another, you know, brash, heavy New York accent, you know, talker, liberal, really liberal. And then Randy was hired by Air America and went national. And Joyce Kaufman didn't know what to do with herself. So they threatened to take her off the air at WFTL. And so she decided I'd become a Republican. And she became Alan West's sidekick. And Alan West was going to, you know, when he was elected to Congress, he was going to have her as his chief of staff. And then they made that ridiculous, you know, if ballots don't work, bullets will comment. That was her.
Yeah.
So she sold her soul. She was always a liberal, progressive talk show host, and she went to the dark side. And I'm sure she's rolling in the bucks right now. But guess what? I bet she doesn't like herself much and probably doesn't sleep at night. But then again, I don't sleep at night either, so that's not an indicator.
Okay, I'm going to confess the podcast I was listening to. You said something that made me think of this. The podcast I was watching and listening to was Pod Save America this morning.
Okay, yes.
Air America came up.
Oh, really?
And they were talking about why the right is so popular right now with the economy booming, all this stuff. And why doesn't the public understand this? And they were thinking, well, you know, the right has this massive ecosystem of a propaganda apparatus. You know, I mean, it's massive. And they also know how when I was studying this stuff and analyzing it and writing about it, you'd go into sports forums online and there'd be obvious Republican plants. And you know how they had this whole apparatus of callers into these right-wing talk shows that were operatives, you know, trained and everything. And I was thinking, okay, so they're talking about how we have to develop a left side media
system. Oh my God. Again, it all comes down to money. Can you talk about the money people who do not support the progressive media outlets?
It doesn't turn out because of Air America. It doesn't turn out to be a good business prospect. And then they said, none of these right wing groups made money. They're not about making money. They're about, and every single one of them has some billionaire behind them.
Yep.
Some right-wing billionaire trying to get this stuff out to get tax cuts and stuff. Well, I've been thinking, and they were talking about what can the Dems do to win, and one of them was, well, they should develop this media ecosystem. Hey, it's a little late.
Right. Tell you something? It's not the fault of you and me. I've been working my ass off for 15 years trying to develop this media ecosystem. It's people like, and I'm going to name check, our friend Guy Saperstein, who instead of investing some of his vast fortune to support progressive media, he packs up and moves to France.
Well, he's putting money into something. He is putting money into something.
He's working on this new, alternative to Facebook. You know, okay, great.
Well, he was one of the people at Democracy Alliance that was fighting for this stuff, which is why he left, because Democracy Alliance wouldn't do it.
Right.
But this is insider stuff.
Yeah, no, it is. But the fact of the matter is, there's
what the Dems need to do to win.
What?
They need to go back further. But let's say they went back to the beginning of the Obama administration and kept that massive list that helped get him elected. And instead of destroying it and shutting all the grassroots efforts down, which they did.
Encourage us to build. Right.
Encouraged investment in progressive infrastructure, which they stopped.
Right.
A lot of donors were specifically told to stop giving to progressive organizations.
Oh, yeah.
And let's say they had, you know, even then, even after Obama was elected, started putting together a media ecosystem, you know. But we were talking about this. We were talking about this. We started talking about this in 2004, I think.
Right. Well, you were one of the OG.
Really started coming,
you know,
together that
for those who don't know, Dave Johnson was one of the gang of the OG bloggers. Yeah. It was you. It was Digby. It was Driftglass. It was, you know, a couple of dozen who were the original.
Part of Peter Dowd's adventure back then before
Peter Dowd
went over to the dark side.
He went over and then came back.
Strong.
He came back stronger. That's right. He went over.
You know, what if they had in the 90s when they had a supermajority in the Senate? What if they'd ended the filibuster then?
Wow.
When, after what's his name in Massachusetts took over?
Oh, Dukakis?
You know, the truck driver guy, the male model guy.
Oh, Scott Brown. Yes.
I think it was Kennedy died, right?
Right. Kennedy died, and Scott Brown took his seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they didn't have the supermajority anymore.
Right.
So the Republicans from that moment on blocked every single thing that Obama tried to do.
Everything.
And Democrats didn't kill the filibuster.
No. Nope.
We could go back and they
could
kill the filibuster.
And that was Harry Reid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We have had a stream of horrible leaders. And I could say it, Harry Reid to Chuck Schumer, and in the House, Nancy Pelosi, go the fuck home already. She's running for re-election again. Are you kidding me?
It's like we have this. We're trying to fight fascism here, you and me and a lot of us, you know. We're out here. We see it coming.
Right. So we have dictators for life?
The opposition to fascism, the only available structure to fight fascism is this old, you know, late 70s, early 80s, Dianne Feinstein, late 80s.
Oh, my God.
Blocking the door.
Yes.
They take up all the space available to fight fascism, and they will not get out of the way. And they will not fight fascism.
Right. It's astounding.
I mean,
it's astounding.
Trump.
Yeah.
In the last week, how much has he done? He says he's going to pardon the January 6th people. He says that if they indict him, they've got to rise up in a civil war.
Yep.
All of these things he's saying. He says that they've got to put people
in
jail. He's made it the theocracy of the Republican Party that if Democrats win any election, it's illegitimate and they have to overturn that election. And we have a Justice Department where Robert Mueller laid out an indictment for obstruction of justice, but said, well, I can't indict him because he's a sitting president. You know, I don't understand.
My God.
It, but that's what it
said. Nor do I.
And they indicted and tried and convicted and imprisoned Michael Cohen with Trump on the indictment as a co-conspirator. But they couldn't indict him because he was a sitting president. All right, so they've got these two flat-out obvious, ready-to-go indictments of Trump the minute he leaves office.
Yeah.
When did he leave office?
Right.
That was a year ago.
Yeah. Hello.
It just passed a year.
And they wonder why there's apathy on the left. They wonder why we're not enthused about the direction the nation is headed. Oh, my God, Joe Biden, how about you take your pen and you wipe out student debt?
You woke me up, and I'm cranky.
You were cranky before I woke you up. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, this is all of it. This is really frustrating. And
it's frustrating. But as I said, we are fighting fascism.
Yeah.
Okay? We got to fight like hell in the primaries to get these Democrats out, right?
But what I don't get
when the vote comes, it's the final vote, you know, in 2022, this year later, we got to vote. We got to vote. We got to vote Democratic. Then we can kill each other. First, we kill them. Then we kill each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? The Afghan warlords?
What about
the
Afghan?
When they got to get the Soviets out, remember that whole thing?
No.
And they all got to. This is one of those stories. I don't know. And they all got together, you know, and they all hate each other. But they came to an agreement about the Soviets. They said, first, we kill them. Then we kill each other.
And then we can kill ourselves.
Then we can kill each other. Yeah.
Okay. Is Dianne Feinstein going to run for office again?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course. But But the question, you
see,
know,
this is just pathetic at this point. Nancy Pelosi is what, 83 years old? Go home. Be a grandmother. She's got 20 fucking grandchildren. Go home and let the new generation come in and take over. It's their world that you're fucking up.
Name recognition.
God damn.
Name recognition is valuable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, at some point, you got to say enough already.
Yeah.
You know, I was never in favor of term limits, but I think we need them because the Democrats think these are lifetime appointments.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm so impressed by the kids that I see. And, you know, I'm 62 now, so I can call everybody
me too.
Kid. But sure. But no, you know,
too,
I see
impressed.
The. Oh,
I'm not 60.
Gotcha. No, you're not. But I see
I'm
these
64.
Kids. Will you still feed me? Will you still? Okay. But I see these 20-year-olds running, and they make so much sense. And they're so smart. And they're so good. You look at the AOCs and that generation, let them take over. This is their world. We fucked it up. Let them have a chance to fix it. But instead, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn, get the fuck out of there already. Together, what, they're older than Methuselah.
But the internet's not a big truck.
It's not a big truck?
No, it's a series of tubes.
Oh, there is that.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yes, I remember that. Come on.
We had a head of the Democratic Party in California who bragged that he didn't use computers.
Well, neither did the former guy use computers. Yeah. Donald Trump.
He didn't use computers because he knew that any evidence could be evidence. He even said so.
Right. And you know, so no evidence, no paper trail. And even, did you hear in this big 700 document thing? He tore up pages that they had to tape back together.
Yeah,
the
right.
Man is an imbecilic infant.
He's a mob boss.
Oh, my God. He's not smart enough to be a mob boss.
Oh, look at... Oh, yeah. If he
he's
wasn't
insane.
Smart enough to be a mob boss, you know, he would have gotten indicted for money laundering.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
back
God.
When.
There's
another one you could bitch about is how Trump, if they ever enforced any of these laws against people at the top, Trump would have been indicted for money laundering.
Long time ago. And that's the problem.
Obvious money laundering.
Oh, yeah. You know,
oh, yeah, buy a mansion in Florida for this price, sell it a little while later
for double the cost, right? For double what you paid for it.
Yeah,
wink, wink,
right.
Nudge, nudge.
More than double.
Yeah, more than double.
Yes.
More than double.
Uh-huh. And then the guy
to the Russians. To the Russians, no less. To a Russian oligarch bought that house and then demolished it, by the way.
Right.
So, you know, if you're looking for things that make sense, maybe try door number 3 because it's not behind this one.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know, Dave Johnson. I have no...
This is a great session.
It really is. I think we needed it, though.
I'll offer this positivity. Show up and vote. Got to do it.
Yeah.
Damn. They're making it harder and harder.
Harder and
the
harder.
The Republicans are making it harder and harder on purpose, and the Democrats are just...
That said, there was a buried news item today. That said, the Democrats raised a ridiculous amount of money. So we may not be outwardly enthusiastic about what we have to work with, but I think... The thing that got all of us to the polls on November 3rd, 2020, will do it again. Just the specter of Trump and his ilk running things again. Things aren't perfect now, but I'll take today over a year, 2 years ago.
We'll have a preview in 2022. If any Democrats win and then they overturn those elections, which I expect we'll see a certain amount of that. I mean, they're even telling people... Go be a poll watcher and bring a gun.
Oh, God. They are. They are. So we need as many poll watchers as they have. You know, it just to even things out. I'm not saying bring a gun. I'm saying we need numbers. We need people to stand up for what's right. By the way, you were listening to Pod Save America on your walk this morning. So I don't know if you heard. Yesterday, I had Peter Strzok on, and he was really good. He was really good.
On my afternoon walk.
Yes, you must.
He got me up.
It was... it'll energize you. He was really, I was so impressed with him, and I feel so bad for him. What was done to him by those things. They're not even human beings. They're just horrible excuses for people.
Fascists.
But
it's the only word you can use at this point. It's not. What's the word when you're exaggerating something like how they always
hyperbole. It's not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole.
Dealing with actual fascism, and they mean it.
Yeah, I hear you. Huh. All right, Dave Johnson, we ate up the hour. You can go back to sleep now. Thank you. Dave Johnson, you know, you can find his personal blog at seeingtheforest.com. He also has another blog about modern monetary theory, you know, what we talk with Stephanie Kelton about a lot on this show, called wecanhavenicethings.com, right? Is that what it's called?
It's called.
There you go. So there are many places you can read Dave Johnson. You can find him on the Twitters at DC Johnson.
Right.
Because he's the big Johnson.
For the plug for my hobby.
That was a nickname of a baseball player. See, I know certain assorted sports tidbits, like Tom Brady retired. You know, somebody jumped the gun on him earlier in the week, and he's like, fuck that, I didn't get to make the announcement. Okay, let's say that I'm not sure yet. And then Tuesday morning, I'll come out and say, hey, I'm retiring. Works, right?
I guess. Hey, I'm going to, one last thing. You can put this in your opening next time.
Okay.
Okay, so I was back and forth a bit with David C. Johnston. You know
yes,
him.
Yes, I know. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And I pointed out that my Johnston doesn't have a T.
T, right. Your Johnson is not a Johnston. Yes. People do confuse you. By the way, when I do say Dave Johnson's coming on, oh, I like that guy, David K. Johnston. No.
My name is David C. Johnson.
I know, you are. Yeah. Courtney, you have a girl's middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But my Johnson doesn't have a T.
No, your Johnson is T-less. Okay. Anything else? Oh, by the way, can I just say one last thing because we're in overtime? Today is the 1st of February, the beginning of Black History Month. And how does this country celebrate Black History Month? Uh-oh. By making bomb threats to 13 historical Black colleges and universities. What? Another news item. This is just insane. This is what happened today. Bomb threats at all of I have a map up for those listening to an audio stream. But from Morgan State University, Kentucky State University, Mississippi Valley State University, Tougaloo College, Jackson State University, Alcorn State University, Xavier University of Louisiana, Edward Waters University, Fort Valley State University, Spelman College, Howard University, University of District of Columbia, and Coppin State University all received bomb threats today, the first day of African American History Month, Black History Month. What's that? Oh, you got your COVID test? Ours came last week, actually. Yeah. We got ours.
I just went to a website. I signed up. They sent me
two boxes, and there's two.
It's almost like England, you know, where they'll send you seven a week, every week for free.
Do they, really?
Yeah. Mm. It's like a comparison of Obamacare and the British healthcare system.
Oh, yeah. We're right there.
You get to have two here.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that going for us. Hey, how lucky can one person be? All right, Dave Johnson, I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Next time. Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Good to see you.
Okay. I'm just going to leave everyone with the news because I got work to do. Thank you, everybody. Bye, chat room. Bye. Thank you, listeners. And thank you, Dave Johnson. And until we meet again, head up, chin up. We're proud Americans. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Here comes the news. Now.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Happy Lunar New Year. Today begins the Year of the Tiger. It's also the start of Black History Month. Welcome to February. The New York Times and CNN are reporting that the former guy rejected a proposal pushed by outside advisors, those would be Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, and Phil Waldron, to have the Pentagon seize voting machines in a bunch of swing states that President Biden won. But later, in November and December of 2020, he personally asked Attorney General William Barr if the Justice Department could seize the voting machines. Then he directed his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to ask the Department of Homeland Security whether it could do so. These new accounts by people with first or secondhand knowledge of the events show that, quote, Trump was more directly involved than previously known in exploring proposals to use his national security agencies to seize voting machines in his push to reverse his election loss. Many legal experts are pointing towards a statement that he put out just the other night in which he acknowledged that he was trying to overturn the election results. U.S. and Russian ambassadors faced off during a U.N. Security Council meeting Monday on the ongoing Ukraine crisis. U.S. officials have repeatedly urged Moscow to take a diplomatic path forward, warning that an invasion of Ukraine would result in swift and significant sanctions. President Joe Biden reiterated that message yesterday while the meeting was underway. The U.S. ambassador confirmed that very little was accomplished during the conversation, and Russia, quote, didn't give the answers they hoped they would provide. Moscow then sent a written response ahead of a phone call scheduled for Tuesday afternoon between Secretary of State Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Russia wants the U.S. and its allies to bar Ukraine from joining NATO as a condition for easing tensions. But the U.S. and NATO aren't going for that one. Lots of COVID news to report today. Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine has finally received full approval from the FDA for use in people ages 18 and older. That vaccine, which by the way is called Spikevax, is the second coronavirus vaccine to receive full approval from the FDA, the other being Pfizer's Comirnaty vaccine. There's no difference between the newly approved vaccine and the vaccine previously available through emergency use authorization. And this, a vaccine for children under 5, could be available within weeks. Pfizer plans to ask the FDA for emergency authorization as soon as today. It's a two-shot regime for kids 6 months to 5 years old. However, the company is testing a third dose because two didn't give quite enough protection for all the kids in that age group. Meanwhile, some nations, including Denmark and the UK, are lifting COVID-19 restrictions and mask requirements. But that hasn't stopped the troubles plaguing British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He was condemned in a scathing report by senior civil servant Sue Gray on Monday. The report detailed multiple parties, a culture of excessive drinking, and a, quote, failure of leadership in his government while the rest of the country was living under strict COVID-19 lockdown rules. The long-awaited report called Johnson's actions, quote, a serious failure, and said a string of mass gatherings were difficult to justify. It also revealed that police are investigating at least 12 events, including at least two that Johnson attended, and a third held in his residence that he previously denied happened. Johnson apologized for the lockdown parties in an address before Parliament on Monday, where he was skewered by lawmakers from all sides. His ability to survive the scandal remains in doubt. If enough Conservative members of Parliament trigger a vote of no confidence, they'll have the chance to oust him from office. A federal judge on Monday rejected plea deals for the father and son team responsible for killing Ahmaud Arbery, the 25-year-old black man they chased through a Georgia neighborhood and killed. Three sorry excuses for men were found guilty of murder in November. The father and son team were sentenced to life without parole. They had agreed to plead guilty to the hate crime charges, but Arbery's family objected to the deal, which would have let them spend 30 years in federal prison instead of remaining in Georgia state custody in exchange for admitting the crime was racially motivated. The judge gave the two men until Friday to decide whether to enter a guilty plea or go to trial. And finally, the New York Times announced Monday that it had purchased Wordle, that word game that went viral over the last couple of months. Only 90 people played it on November 1st. The number grew to 300,000 by the middle of January. And by the end of the month, millions of people were trying to solve the daily word puzzle. I'm hooked. So the game's creator is a software engineer named Josh Wardle. He created it in 2013 as a gift for his partner who loves word games. It was so popular with his friends and family that he released it to the world in October. But it exploded in popularity when he made it easy to share results on Twitter and Facebook. The Times reportedly paid a price in the low seven figures. We hear it's in the $3 million range. The purchase was part of the newspaper's efforts to use games in a push to boost digital subscriptions. The Times said Wordle will remain free for now. Here's an idea. How about keeping one game as it is daily for everybody, and subscribers get a second daily game included in their subscription? Yeah, it works for me too. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.